friend of mine, and she does a lot of work with a lot of people, including teenage girls, which would run me crazy. But she really has a good program, and I just love her to death. Marlena C.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. My name's Marlena, and I am a real alcoholic.
Hey, Marlena.
And I forgot exactly what a real alcoholic is many times over the last 25 years that I've been in this program. My sobriety date is March the 14th of 1991, and for that, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. I don't even want to think about where I might be without that and without, you know, being given that gift of sobriety. And, oh man, all of you that came up here that have the 30 days, do you know that I ducked and dodged places like this for probably the first 3 years that I was in this program? I was terrified. I don't have the first 3 years of my chips. So anytime I see a newcomer come up here for a desired chip, a 30-day chip, a 60, a 90, and so on and so forth, I just am so excited for you to be able to do that. It's just amazing to me. Like I said, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since March the 14th of 1991. And there's a funny story around that. I think I was in a real blackout the first year I was sober. I know it was the year of 1991, and I know that it was in March, but I'm not real sure about the day. So what this alcoholic did was just went to the middle. And I picked the 14th. And I have kept that date since then. It didn't start out like that, though. I went to a treatment back then. I went to a 28-day stay. It was Parkside Recovery. Oh, some God. Of you in here, I don't
Very
know,
familiar.
May remember Parkside in the 80s. I know. Yeah, I colored my hair, so you probably wouldn't. That's exactly how old I am. But anyway, I went to Parkside in 1989. My life had become totally out of control and unmanageable. I was, again, the real alcoholic, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Personality, oh my goodness. Some of my friends would end up without buttons on their shirts after I got done wanting to know, you know, what they were saying about me or why they had left me behind or who knows what. Anyway, that's really what brought me into treatment, was I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I mean, why would I act like that? That was never really like myself, you know. But that's what alcohol progressively over, think about maybe almost 25 years of drinking. Drinking, did you hear that? Drinking. And probably about, oh my goodness. Well, you know, going way back to Land's Drive-In, some of you might know what that is. It's a place where we used to drive around and we'd pull up and the car hop would come out and she'd bring us a drink. And I saw a friend of mine there, and I think I was about 16. I saw an older friend of mine, male. And so I popped over, you know, we'd pull up and we'd all jump out and all that. And I popped into his car and he was drinking on the property. And I'm like, I said, and I asked him, I said, well, how about, you know, buying myself and my friends some alcohol? And he comes back, there was three of us, he comes back with three bottles. Now, I don't know how, I don't remember if I told him we needed one bottle for each or what. But it wasn't like he came back with one bottle and three cups. He came back with three bottles, and some of you out there may know this, Boone's Farm apple wine. Oh my God. I thought I was going to die the next day because I think I drank the bottle he bought for me and probably part of the ones of the others that didn't find it necessary to finish it. And I don't even know where that came from. You know, I was second oldest in a family of eight children. Six were born after me without my permission. And no sex in the house was happening if you talked to my mom. But there was just all these kids. I'm like, okay. So I learned early on how to do certain things. I knew early on how to take care of others. And I found out early on how to be dishonest. You know, that whole deal about, bless you, that whole deal about, you know, the truth will set you free. Well, I have some stories early on that really wasn't the case. It didn't feel like it set me free. So my father was a rageaholic. Well, that's what I diagnosed him as. He didn't have that diagnosis, I don't think. Anyway, he was raised, of course, by his father. His father was a raging alcoholic that completed suicide when he was about 40, I think early 40s. He drank carbolic acid in front of his five children. My father was 12 at the time. And so, of course, back then, you know, when people were jumping out of, the crash of the stock market, people were jumping out of windows. And, of course, we know Bill, good old Bill W., he just went down and got drunk promptly when people were jumping out the windows. Well, my grandfather stood to lose the farm. This is what I was told. He stood to lose the farm. He was a raging alcoholic. They kept taking him to hospitals and trying to get him clean and sober. And they would send him home with sedatives. Because, of course, back then, that's what they did. And so he, according to my grandmother, who never remarried, I think she was traumatized as well. But anyway, they would send him home, my grandfather, with prescriptions of these high-powered sedatives to wean him off or keep him sober. But of course, we know today that's not helpful for the disease of alcoholism. Maybe short-term if you're in detox, but anyway, so my father, I think, was 12 at the time, and what happened with the family, of course, they got separated, and then one had to live here and one had to live there. Well, my father, what I'm told is that there wasn't a place for him. So he hopped around from family to family, but then when he was old enough, he went into the service. I believe the Navy at the time. And then he met my mother, I believe, in the docks of Port Isabel. I don't know if anybody of you know where that is. My mother's Hispanic. My father's Anglo. And in the 60s, you know, that wasn't very attractive to the children born of Anglo father and Hispanic mother. So I had a lot of that, you know, to deal with also at the time. And that kind of followed me all the way through until my adult years. And so my father docked in Port Isabel because he hopped a shrimp boat, but I guess before the Navy, and caught up with my mom. My mother was very beautiful, Hispanic. Young lady, and of course she was emotionally challenged. That's of course again my assessment of my mom. She was born of 14 children in her family. So when my dad and her hooked up, they had eight children. And my father being who he was and me being who I was, I tried to be the placator or the caretaker, trying to keep all the kids safe from the wrath of my father. My mother was very passive. And so maybe that's where I got some of my rage, and that's really what brought me into, got me to treatment in 1989 was my total loss of control after I put a few alcoholic beverages in my system. And I couldn't really understand what was wrong. I remember thinking on the way to my home, thinking, am I mad at anybody? Because if I am, I want to get it out of the table, and I don't want to be mad because I'm fixing to have some drinks. So I really, really thought that I had some control in that. And every single time towards the end, I guess the last 10 years, I had no control over my behavior. You know, and then I just started laughing about it, calling myself a Tasmanian devil. Like, okay, Taz is fixing to be here any minute, so y'all need to take care of yourselves, whoever I was with at the time. And of course, over time, that became fewer and fewer people that wanted to be around me, and I'd say, oh, they're just jealous. They don't want to be around me, they're just jealous. So, you know, that kind of silly stuff. But anyway, I did that, you know, and I had a couple of relationships. I have two children now. One of them followed in my footsteps. The other one, he may be, who knows? You know, I know he's an adult child. I know that for sure. And he had a second child this past Monday. And oh my goodness, what a blessing that I'm able to be a part of his life and a part of my grandchildren. You know, I have six other grandchildren that I wasn't a very good grandparent at the time. Of course, I'm important, and I had a lot of other things to do. I didn't have a lot of extra time because I'm busy. And so that haunted me, of course, and my spirit didn't really develop like I wanted it to. And actually, some of you don't really see me around Club 12 very often. But I will say this. In 2009, I had an emotional, breakdown. I had too many other gods. That is definitely what happened. You know, my God, who I know today, was way down the chain. And I had a lot of other gods, and which landed me in a very, very vulnerable predicament, and found myself in Club 12 almost all day long sometimes. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. I didn't have to drink. Thank you, Jesus. But it was an emotional breakdown that I had to be with you. And I knew if I could be here and be with you, I would be okay. So I got through that. And I'm grateful to say today that, you know, I did not always have this with me. Yes, I know some of you are wondering, what is that? Well, I said that too. What is this? Let me tell you something. I don't even want to tell you how many years went by that I really didn't read this book. Well, I'll say this. I did read it, but for you, not for me. So today, while I read it for you sometimes, I read it for me. This book saved my life. What's written in this book is amazing. I wanted to read the promises, but guess what? We had the promises read to us today. You know, we will know a new freedom and a new happiness. The happiness and the freedom that I knew came with very, very high, bless you, very, very high stakes or very dire consequences. The program is simple, but I had to get myself out of the way. Powerlessness and unmanageability, I could not take. I tried to fill that void with every single thing in my power. I tried. with especially other people. Those, oh my goodness, I could not get past that. And finally, my God did for me what I could not do for myself. And I am standing up here today, you know, a true testament that, you know, this program works. My God is my God. And I can be a, what does it say in the book about being a citizen, productive citizen. And I can be useful. There it is. Can be useful to others, which I thought I never really could be. I could be useful. But, you know, working these steps, accepting my powerlessness and the unmanageability of my life, believing and gaining that faith and trust that the power that I knew was there, but I didn't really know how it was going to help me, would be able to be there for me and help me so I wouldn't have to reach outside of me for, you know, what you guys kept telling me is that, you know, the answer's inside. The answer's within. And I said, but what about, but, and I was always, but what, you know, but what? But what about the, you know? No. You know, and I heard early on, if you're looking past your nose for the answer, you've gone too far. Yeah. I didn't believe it, trust me. And I think my nose grew because of that. It's like, whoa. So, you know, to be able to sit in the book, it talks about being able to, I think, 86 and 87. Today, those pages are my guide. You know, I don't just tell my sponsees to, okay, so page 86 and 87. You know, I was good at that, real good at that. But to be able to go to page 86 and 87 for myself, oh my goodness. You know, again, God did for me what I could not do for myself. And today, you know, in those pages, it says to sit and be still and don't struggle. I didn't know how to do that because I was like, I got to get it. Whatever I can get, I got to get it. You know, and I wanted to buy things because I thought that's why I was on this earth was to have things. I wanted to merge your bank account with mine so it would look bigger so I could get these things, you know. And so I did not know how to be, what does it say, a friend among friends, a worker among workers. I didn't know how to be a sister. I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know how to live life. I mean, I lived with alcohol as the solution. You know, alcohol worked. Oh, my God. It's an amazing tranquilizer. It's an amazing tranquilizer. It works. Oh, my goodness. Just, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have a few. And so, you know, I lived my adult life half asleep. Half asleep. So guess what happens when you finally wake up? I thought I'd been dropped on another freaking planet. I got stopped 3 times by highway patrol because I couldn't stay in the lines. He'd say, Miss, do you know that you just... I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I did. You know, and that was over. That was without anything because I had to relearn how to drive. I had to relearn how to communicate. Excuse me, I didn't know how to communicate. I know how to, you know, knew how to do that. Or, you know, like, you know what? You know, like that. Like, you looking at me? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, that kind of stuff. And you know, it was mentioned earlier, you know, I have been, you know, working in the field for almost as long as I've been sober. And I think that was just out of pure fear. Well, I say that now, but I think back then it was out of pure ego, because you don't like to read the big book to y'all. I like to read it to all y'all out there, but I used to work with the, 16 to 18-year-old female alcoholic addicts. Oh, my goodness. I love them to pieces. Because guess what? They thought I was trying to teach them something. Guess who got... guess who learned? Right here. They, oh my goodness, they taught me so much. They literally taught me how to speak without just going right at it, because if I went like this to them, guess what I was going to get? You know? So I really learned how to step back and pause when agitated. Really, really learned how to do that. Although, you know, sometimes I can still get on the other side of that. Amazing program. You know, in step three, oh my goodness, I know I keep saying that, I'm sorry. I keep saying, oh my goodness, but, you know, I've really revamped, re-engaged, recommitted, whatever you want to call it, in 2009, my recovery and my sobriety and working the steps, trusting my God with everything that I have, because all that other stuff just didn't work. Lots of consequences, you know, being the caretaker, people pleaser, and martyr, and all that, victim, oh my goodness, all that. Turning my life and my will over is a daily. Of course, after I've admitted powerlessness, now that's my whole thing right there. Unless I get myself completely out of the way, what good does it do to turn my life and my will over to my higher power? I have to do a step one, and I would forget that. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'd be asking, what step are you working? Oh, three, four, five. What about one? You know, this alcoholic had to do a one first, all through the day. I am powerless. My life becomes totally unmanageable. Insane. Oh, my gosh. Step two. But making that decision to turn my life and my will over, and really taking that in, you know, on page 30, to our innermost self, concede to our innermost selves. I had to concede to my innermost self that I was alcoholic, that I could not manage my own life, no matter what. See these? No matter what. Blood, you know, I'm going to have it my way. Mm-mm. But what an amazing life today. In a vision for you, we're able to match, serenity with calamity, or calamity with serenity. You know, I'm not saying there's a lot of stuff, you know, that life happens, you know. But being able to have that peace inside is a miracle from God, to have peace no matter what. You know, I really believe that we live in uncertain times, I guess I could just leave it at that. But I do know, like, you know, I tell my mother all the time, you know, I have a higher God, and I know that no matter what, we're going to be okay. No matter what goes down, all I need to do is my part. And going back to 86, and I know, I'm sorry, I jump around, 86 and 87, you know, that teaches me to sit back and don't struggle. And I didn't know how to do that. I did not know how to sit and not struggle and allow my higher power to work through me. I was always about doing and fixing, doing and fixing. Here, let me have it, I'll do it. Let me have it, I'll fix it. Let me do it, I'll do it. That right there almost killed me in sobriety. And so God has helped me. You guys have helped me stay on task. Step six and seven, never willing. And I remember that day came, yes, I'm willing to allow, you know, God to have these defects of character. And then I'm like, why does it say humbly in step seven? Why does it say that? Humbly asking to remove. Well, you know what? I'm not listening if I'm not humble. I'm not. That doesn't come easy for me, but again, God was going to show me the way by all the things that I had to learn, all the lessons I had to learn, all the times that I took back my will. And I got real humble because I wanted to be here. I wanted to be present. I wanted to be useful. I wanted to continue to do what I was doing and live a life that I was meant to live. And so by doing the step seven, and then of course, you know, making a list of all person that I had harmed, I'm like, oh my goodness, they started this. Why do I need to apologize? You know, then there she would, there she'd come out. Why, you know, always why, always why. That was the name of my gang. You did it, you know, you started it. But going back to the doctor's opinion, you know, I suffered from an allergy that only spiritual experience is going to see me through. It doesn't matter what you did to me. I have a responsibility to myself if I want to live. And that is to work these steps in all my affairs, say on my side of the street. You know, I laugh sometimes during some of the studies that I do. Living my life in column two for almost 15 years. You guys know what column two is, right? We have to move out of column two to three and four, find out what my part is. I never wanted to look at that. And I know today it was so emotionally painful to look at that. But today, through that, gratitude just overwhelms me when I can allow myself to feel that emotional pain that I so avoided with everything in me. And I can feel that today and be so grateful and amazed. And that's what, you know, the promises that continue to come true in my life, that we will be amazed before we were even halfway through. And so for you that are here, for you that are newly sobered, just keep coming back. I don't care what happens. Don't drink and don't use. I don't care whatever else happens. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, those other nasty behaviors, I already know. But, you know, don't be too upset over that stuff. Just don't drink and keep coming back. And the day will come that you'll be willing to let go of some of those behaviors that keep us feeling shameful and guilty and responsible for things that are not ours. We have to learn how to be responsible for what our part is. And that's where the steps come in. We want to look, we want to allow people, others, to have their life and their journey. We have to stay out of their way. We have to stay on our side of the street. Trust me, we will be much happier. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But we will be much happier if we stay on our side of the street trying to figure out why we're so upset and angry. Okay? Because our higher power is really trying to say, hey, I'm right here. No worries. I'm right here. And that allows us to do the next right thing. So, I don't know. I love this program. I love all of you. And I just hope you guys keep coming back. I hope you guys got something out of this. And then we continue to take personal inventory. And oh my goodness, prayer and meditation, there it is right there. We take our higher power with us everywhere we go. And then working with others. Now you remember I did this? I'm too busy, too tired, too old, too ill, all of that. And I don't have anything to give you. Well, we all know that that's not correct. We have to kind of push through that and carry that message to others that still suffer. So we can stay clean and sober and help others. So with that, love you guys. Keep coming back. I think that's it. Thank you.